God, I would ask you that you open up the eyes of our understanding. You would flood our hearts with light. You would cause us to be able to see the fullness of who we are, Father, and that we would be able to comprehend with all the saints the height, the width, the length, and the depth of your love. And Father, more and more and more, we would walk in your truth. Walk in your truth. More and more, walk with the leading and the presence of the Holy Spirit throughout our every day. And then, God, that right now I thank you for the sufficiency that I have in you. I'm well aware of the fact that I am not sufficient in and of myself. I got that figured out. But I also got this one figured out, that my sufficiency comes from you. You have made us, you have made me ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter that kills, but of the Spirit that gives life. So I thank you, Father, for that life flowing through each and every one of us, to each other, and throughout our week, throughout our days. In this world, in Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you could take your Bibles and you could open up to the book of Acts, chapter 10. And I want to talk about identify. This morning, it's in my heart. I've been excited about this all week long as I've been meditating on it and just letting it run through the inside of me. Identify. Who or what do you identify with? Who or what do you identify with? And I'll dig into that a little bit more, and we'll talk about it more and more and more. But here's the truth. Whatever you identify with, you'll carry that. If you identify with worry, guess what you're going to carry? You're going to carry worry. If you identify with peace, guess what you'll carry? Peace. If you identify with joy, guess what you'll carry? Joy. Guess what other people will see? If you identify with fear, that's what you're going to carry. That's what's going to come oozing off of you, oozing out of you, if you will. That's what people will pick up. If you identify with anxiety, that's what you'll carry. And that's what people will sense when they get around you. Amen. I don't know about you, but I know I don't want to carry fear. I don't want to carry worry. I don't want to carry anxiety. I don't want to carry victim. Amen. And so whatever you identify with, that is what you are going to carry. You know, my dad grew up in Boston. And he had his Boston Red Sox baseball cap on. Well, see, I can identify that. Why? Because that's where my dad grew up. So I identify with the Boston Red Sox, and for whatever reason, I'm just a fan of the Boston Red Sox. I really loved it several years back, quite a few, when they beat the New York Yankees in the playoffs, if you call them the playoffs, the series. Yeah, woohoo! Amen! I loved it! Not a big baseball fan, but to see them be down 1-3 and to come back and win that thing, yes! Yes! Obviously, I'm not a New York fan. Amen. But see, I like Chevy pickups. Yeah. When I was a young boy, my dad bought a brand new 1971 Chevy pickup. And ever since then, I've become a Chevy fan. Smart. Right. As it should be. And I can tell from the look on some of your faces, you can't identify with that. You're identifying with a lesser vehicle. Yeah, amen. Well, okay, I'll move on to something else. Some folks grew up in church, and you identify with church really well. Some of you grew up in an absolutely loving family, close family, and you identify with that so well. Some folks didn't grow up with that. You know, some folks didn't grow up with a godly home. The only reason I can identify with a godly home is because of the one that I have now. Didn't have one before, so I couldn't identify with that. You know, I identified with other stuff. I want to ask you the question and get you to think about this. What do you identify with? And now, did you get to the book of Acts chapter 17? Acts chapter 17. Did I say 10 the first time? Okay, I often get this one backwards, but I do want Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, and this will get you why I got it backwards. Verse 10. Acts 17, verse 10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more fair-minded. Some of you might have another translation that says this. And these were more noble-minded. Fair-minded. Noble-minded. I was listening to another translation the other day, and it says these were of more noble character. I really like the thought of noble-minded, of more noble character. How many of you say, yeah, I want to be in that group? I want to be with that group that's noble-minded, of noble character. And what I like about this is then he goes on to give a description, if you will, of noble character, of noble-minded. These were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. Now watch. In that they received the word with all readiness. What do noble-minded people do? Keep an open mind. They receive the word with all readiness. They're ready to receive the word of God. They're ready to hear the word of God. They're ready to take the word of God in. You know, there's a verse of scripture back in Hosea, and it says this, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And then it says, because they reject knowledge. I tell you what, I don't want to be destroyed for lack of knowledge because I reject knowledge. I want to be of noble character. I want to be of a noble mind, and that means I want to receive the word with all readiness. I want to take the word of God in with all readiness. Amen? So that's one of the things we want to do. You know, sometimes people go to church just to see how it is. These folks didn't do that. They were ready. They were ready to receive. They were ready to take in. These were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness. Now watch. And searched the scripture daily to find out whether these things were so. What'd they do daily? They search the scripture daily. Everybody say daily. Okay, now I need you to do something. How many of you this morning have got your Bible and you're using your phone? I'd like everybody that's got their Bible on their phone and you're using it this morning to hold it up, please. Go ahead, hold that up. All right, look around the room. Keep it up there for a little while. There's quite a few folks in here. What, about, not quite a fourth, David there. Quite a few people got your Bible on your phone. Praise God, amen. How many of you got more than one translation on your phone? Amen. Amen. How many of you use some of those different translations? I do. Praise God. Now, how many of you got your paper Bible with you? Take and go ahead and hold that up. Amen. Glory to God. You got your Bible. Hallelujah. How many of you know back when this that we're reading about was taking place, they didn't have cell phones? How many of you know the most of them didn't have a Bible in their home? Amen? But yet the scripture says what? They studied the scripture daily. What'd they have to do? I want to make a point here. Yeah. They had to go somewhere. You know, how many of us, we are so blessed. We can get up in the morning, put on the coffee pot, And if that takes too long, you can use the Keurig. You know, make sure it's turned off. Put a little cup in there. Poke the button. And out comes a nice hot cup of coffee. And you go over and you sit down in a comfy chair. You maybe lay back. You put your feet up on the end table. You got your coffee cup right here in the windowsill. I'm talking about my house and my mornings. I mean, it's so easy. It's so easy. I can do this. And I got multiple sources and a number of different translations of Scripture. These folks didn't have that. They made a very deliberate point to go and put themselves and be where the Word of God was, where the Scripture was. Do we make that kind of effort? Noble-minded. People of noble character do. Amen. And this is all going to come into play a very important role in what we're going to shift about, because we're talking about what we identify with, or who we identify with. Now, take your Bible, please, and go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And you know what? There's something special about going around and getting with people and sitting down and studying the Scripture and studying the Word with other people. There's just something really rich about that. Bob Parsons years ago wanted to do a Saturday morning men's fellowship, breakfast, prayer time. I got to tell you, I wasn't crazy about the idea, because there's part of me that's really independent. I'm good on my own. Just being truthful. I'm good on my own. I'm okay. But Bob's persistent. Praise God. Somebody say, praise God for Bob's persistence. And he kept bringing it enough that finally I said, okay, all right, we can do that. And then praise God for George. Everybody say, praise God for George. This George is equally awesome, but I'm thinking about another George. Because George Christmer said, I will cook every Saturday morning for men's breakfast. I tell you what, if you cook it, they will come. And we just did it every other Sunday, every other Saturday for quite a while. And then after a bit, there were people that said, Pastor, I can't remember which Saturday it is and which Saturday it isn't. Can we just do it every Saturday? So now we do men's prayer breakfast every Saturday morning. And the reason I'm bringing all this up, and thank you, Bob, is the fellowship and the camaraderie that I get out of that. Amen. And the men that go, they will let me be the pastor, but they will also let me share. And we have this just little thing. What's said there stays there. And it's cool. It's a place where I can go and have a peace and comfort and share stuff that's going on in my life and in my heart and not have to worry about people talking and rumors getting started. Amen? Oh, and the things I've learned, like Roland said, I don't know, a couple months ago, he said this at that meeting. The conversation you need to have the most is the one you don't want to have. Oh boy, did that do me good. How many of you ever didn't want to have a conversation, but yet you knew you needed to? Oh man, the wisdom and the nuggets that come out of that time. I tell you, and it's getting up early, making a point to be there, getting around the Scripture, reading the Word of God, talking with other people. Praise God. Amen. The life that flows, the strength that's given, the encouragement, the prayer, the lifting up. It's an awesome time. So, and now there's a new cook. Amen. Because George moved away. Brian, would you raise your hand and wave it, please? Brian is our new cook. Amen. I like the way Brian cooks. Can anybody say bacon? Sometimes we're there and we got three kinds of meat. Yes! Amen. This minister, he was at a restaurant. It was a steak restaurant, and he's got some friends who are vegetarian, and he likes to tease them a little bit and pick on them. And they're sitting there in this steakhouse, and he's going, he's just sniffing in, and then he leans over to his friend and says, "You don't smell any veggies cooking." But oh, there's some good steaks cooking, man. Anyway, I get sidetracked. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We've looked at these a number of times in the last 2 weeks. Wednesday night we did. Karen, thank you. Karen opened up her house for fellowship this last Wednesday, and it was a delight. What a beautiful spot. She has got an absolutely beautiful location. Just wonderful. Can I do a plug? And it's for sale, by the way. But it's a beautiful location, just a beautiful place. So if you know anybody in the market looking to buy a new home, you know, if you're up here from Texas visiting today and you'd like a new place, come on, you know. But we had a great time and we were looking at this verse of Scripture again. And I got a couple of things I want to dig out. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war. Somebody say war. So is there war going on? Do we got a war going on? Yeah. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. There is so much you can dig out of these verses of Scripture, but I'm going to stick to the two things that are in my heart. Bringing every thought captive into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Somebody say every thought. Every thought. Say that again, every thought. What are we supposed to do with every thought? Bring it into the captivity of obedience to Christ. Now, that kind of seems like, okay, what exactly is that trying to tell me? What exactly am I supposed to be doing with that? And I came up with some different illustrations, some different examples, and this is how I'm going to make my point. Okay, I got this card here, and it's how to bake a souffle, okay? And so, would you please bake me a souffle and follow that recipe right there? What? Would you do that, please? Okay, follow that recipe right there. Y'all... It's good. You can follow that. It's going to be a little empty, but okay. Okay. Lisa, you want to try it? Okay. Could anybody say no thanks any more politely? Oh, okay. Here's what is it? Why can't you bake that souffle according to the recipe? Because there is no recipe. Okay. I don't know where Scotty went, but I was thinking about him. Scotty likes vehicles. Who else likes vehicles? Anybody else in here like vehicles, working on them, tuning them? So if you said to somebody, tune this motor to factory specs, what would you have in order to tune that motor to factory specs? You'd have to have the factory specs. But if you don't end the motor, amen. Praise God. So if you don't have those factory specs, you can't tune that motor according. If you don't have the recipe for that souffle, how many of you have ever wanted somebody's recipe and they said, well, it's a pinch of this and a dab of that and a little... No, I wanted something written down. Okay? Otherwise, it's really hard to follow. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. If we're going to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, then we're going to need to know what it is to be obedient to Christ. And see, I can share with you something, having been in ministry for as long as I have, that a whole lot of the body of Christ doesn't do real well at taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. It's amazing the thoughts that run around, the thoughts that people identify with that are not under the authority, the truth, the freedom of God's Word. So that thought gets to run around and they don't know how to make it obedient to Christ. Amen? This is so important. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, I jumped over something. How many of you think if you study the Scripture daily, and find out the truth, then you can take that scripture, you can take that truth, and you can hold up the thought, and you can go, okay, thought, according to this, you don't get to do that. And you take this truth, and you put it on top of that thought, and you make that thought be obedient to the truth. And I can promise you, that thought is fighting hard against this truth. It's fighting hard against it. But we can take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ when we know the obedience of Christ. Okay, now back up in this verse a little bit. I could back up to 3. How many of you know what the weapons of our warfare are? The Word of God. When Satan came to Jesus and tempted him by saying things to him, by putting thoughts into his head, what did Jesus say in return? It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You want to know which one of your weapons is? Huge weapon? Right here, God's word. This is a weapon. It's what Jesus used. Satan tempts him again. You know, how many times did Satan tempt him? 3 times. And how did Jesus respond 3 times? It is written. Jesus was making Satan be obedient to the Word of God. Amen? How many of you know you and I get to do the exact same thing? We get to do the exact same thing. I like what this one gentleman said. He goes, I can't afford to be impressed with the devil. Can't be. He's not that impressive. But he is cunning. He is a deceiver. And he has successfully deceived a lot of people over the years. One of the big reasons he does that is because a lot of believers don't know what the Bible says. Yep, they don't know what's written. They don't know what's in the Word of God. Okay, now, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for doing what? Pulling down strongholds. I'd just like to say this. God dropped it in my heart about 15 years ago, I think it was. If you've had strongholds in your life for 20 years, 25 years, 30 years as a Christian, then something's not being done right. Because strongholds are to be pulled down. One of the great ways we do that is take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ and pull down those strongholds. I want you to just think, maybe you don't. Maybe you don't have any in your life. But have you ever had a stronghold in your life? Have you ever had something that had a strong hold on you in thought life? And that's what you identify with. Yeah. You know, for folks that know me, you know I didn't graduate high school. I flunked the second grade. Had to take it twice. Second time I took it, I got C's barely. I was a D and F student my whole life. So when it came to intelligence, what did I identify with? Stupid. Dumb. Not smart. That's what I identified with because stuff out of my past. How many of you know that had a stronghold on me? That had a stronghold on me for years. When Diana met me, she thought, well, her mother thought I was illiterate. My reading was so poor, you guys. That's why today, I believe one of the greatest things you can teach a young person is how to read. Amen. I was good at math, but I couldn't read the directions that would tell me how to do the math. So consequently, I was bad at math. Okay, and I just tell you, I get a little bit bolder. Do you know I am not stupid? I'm smart. I'm really smart. Now, the sermon is not about how smart I am, okay? But I'm just wanting to share something with you. I took the truth of God's Word and I used it against a stronghold that would try to convince me how dumb I was and how stupid I was and how I couldn't do anything. But you know what? I don't believe that today anymore. I'll actually say to my kids, you know what? I'm smart. You ought to listen to me. I am. I got a lot of wisdom. I got a lot of common sense. I can read people. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I got going for me. And I don't have that stronghold in my life anymore. See, I want you to think about, are there strongholds in your life that need to be torn down, need to be pulled down? They're not true. Taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and when we take that thought captive to the obedience of Christ, then we're going to deal with that stronghold. So my question is, what do you identify with? Who do you identify with? You know, as people grow older, guess what they start to identify with? I love Dick Duncan's attitude. Pretty soon, as people grow older, they start to identify with aches and pains. Oh! You know, I don't know what it's like to grow older. But isn't that true? Anybody in here want to raise your hand and say, yeah, that's what I've started to do. I've started to identify with the aches and the pains. You can if you want to. But I want to identify with something else. I want to identify with the life of God. I want to identify with the verse of Scripture that says, you know, I want to go to two of them right now, but I'm not going to take the time. Mount up with wings of eagles. Strength did not go away. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. I know we grow older, but that is not what I'm going to identify with. I'm going to identify with the promises of God. I love Dick Duncan's attitude. He went down to Texas a number of times, and he'd hang out down there in the wintertime. And he has said on numerous occasions, I don't like going down there. There's a bunch of old people down there. Right? And they identify with being old, and they think old. And Dick doesn't think that way. He doesn't think that way at all. I love it. Full of life. Dick, how old are you? 86. Doesn't act it. We got another gentleman in our church that just doesn't identify with being old. Al, how old are you? 90. Amen. Al's one of my heroes in this. Says, going to do something every day. Got it from his dad. Going to do something every day. And he does. Praise God. 90 years old, still going. I mean, building decks and building ramps for people and cleaning out houses and remodeling. I praise God. Amen. It's because of what they identify with. See, because whatever you identify with, that's what you're going to carry. If you identify with worry, you will carry worry. I remember years ago, I was in a situation and it was tight and all of that. And somebody looked at me and they said, well, don't you care? And they were serious. They were almost mad at me because they thought I didn't care. You don't care. Excuse me? I do too care. Well, why aren't you worrying? See, people will think worry is evidence of care. Not necessarily. Not necessarily, and it doesn't help the situation or circumstance at all. You know what will help? Faith. What do you want to identify with, worry or faith? I want to identify with faith. I want to identify with the Word of God. I want to identify with the promises of God. How about you? And see, what we identify with is what we'll put off. Let's go to this one. You guys are going to be shocked. It's 5 minutes to 11. I am at my last scripture for the day. I could add three or four more, but we're just going to go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. There's so many examples of this. What do you identify with? What do you identify with? You're going to Mark chapter 10. I'm just going to give a couple of examples of what do you identify with or who do you identify with. you're going to Mark 10. I'm just going to make reference to Mark chapter 5. The woman with the issue of blood. For 12 years, she had a flow of blood. She had spent all that she had grown no better, but worse, and suffered at the hands of many physicians for 12 years. How many of you think it'd be really easy to identify with that? And then not only that, the law said she had to walk around hollering out, unclean, unclean, unclean. I mean, this would be pretty easy to identify with. But a shift took place. She made a choice. She made a decision to identify with someone else. She heard about Jesus. And then she identified with what he did. She heard about him. She heard about what he was doing. She heard about the people that were getting healed. And she said, that's what I'm identifying with. And if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made well. And she was. Amen? She was made well. Why? Because she didn't hang on to what had been going on in her life for 12 years. She decided that that wasn't her identity. She was going to identify with something different. Now, here we are. Mark chapter 10. I'm going to start reading at verse 46. Mark 10, 46. Now they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet. Be really careful about warning people to be quiet. Do you know the church world can do that pretty well? See, because if the church world isn't careful, pretty soon we identify with our traditions. Well, that's just not how we do it in this church. And someone starts to cry out because they're desperate. Oh, no, no, quiet, quiet, quiet. Not now. That's not the right time for that. That's not when we do it in our service. You got to wait till the end. You know, we got to be careful. I don't want to get caught in religion. I don't want to identify with religion. I want to identify with the Holy Ghost. I want to identify what the Spirit of God is doing. Amen. I want to tune into Him. I want to listen to Him and identify. But I like this here. And they sternly warned him, one says. You could put it this way. Shut up! That's what they were doing. Telling him to be quiet. I like what he did. And they warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more. Go ahead, cry out all the more. Cry out all the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. He stopped. He stopped. This man got his attention. And he commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying, be of good cheer, rise. He's calling for you. Boy, didn't they change quick. I tell you what, people can be really funny. One moment it's be quiet, the next moment it's to be of good cheer. I think he was of good cheer. I think he was pretty after it. There's something in here. This is blind Bartimaeus. Verse 50. And throwing aside his garment, he arose and came to Jesus. Anybody think he had identified with that garment for years? Because a garment could let everybody around you know. Blind man here. How many of you could say that was his identity? That is what he identified with. I want you to think about it. What do you identify with? See, sometimes people identify with things of their past. And it's a stronghold. And they don't get set free. Part of it is because they don't realize what Jesus has done for them. Boy, if we figure out what He has done for us and we identify that, then we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ and we make it be obedient to the freedom, the promises, the blessings that we have in Christ, and we tear down strongholds and we walk in freedom. Did you know everybody in here could have strongholds in your life? Every one of us in here could have. Some might still. I don't know. I know the ones I used to have, and I know the ones I don't have anymore. And then I identify the ones the devil's trying to stick on me. But thank God for His Word. Thank God for His Word. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for how He leads us. Amen? But I love this. And throwing aside His garment. Now, He was what? Blind. So what happens if you're blind and you throw something over there? Yeah, it's tough to see. It's tough to see. He's saying a lot, isn't he? He's going, I don't identify with you anymore. I identify with you, Jesus. I identify with you. That's what he identified with. What do you need to throw aside? What do you need to chuck? What do you need to pitch? And you go, well, I don't know. Are you digging around in here? Are you spending time in here? Are you spending time in the Word? And remember, we got it all so much easier. It is so much easier for us to identify, to get into God's Word. And how many of you know, sometimes you're going to find things in here and you're not going to want to hear it. Amen? You know, there's some crowds in some places, you know, you get to talking about tithing. They don't want to hear it. You get talking about baptizing the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues, and they don't want to hear it. Boy, there can be a lot of things that people in the church world don't want to identify with. Amen? Sometimes people don't want to identify with forgiving. I want to identify with forgiving. Because I know the joys and the peace of that. Can I just ask you a question? I just want to do a pop quiz. Out of things in the Scripture, I'm just curious. What do you think I identify with? Who said that? Joy. How many would go, yeah, I can see that. Sometimes I'm so joyful, I think people don't realize I'm serious. I'm serious about having joy. I'm serious about, I am joyful. I identify with that. I identify with hope. What do you identify with? Because whatever you identify with, that's what's going to come off of you. That's what's going to come out of you. That's what you're going to radiate. That's what you're going to share with other people without even talking. Anytime Diana and I get around Brian Beam, Diana is happier and she laughs more. Why? Because Brian is a joyful, upbeat, positive, fun person to hang out with. Amen? A couple of people. Becky. Is she next door? Did Becky go next door? What's that? Wherever, that's next door. Okay, thank you. She left on me today. I admire Becky. Because how many of you know she radiates something? Strength. Victory. Overcomer. What was it? How many months ago did Mark pass away? 4, 5 months ago? I've watched her. And I know she has her moments and I know she cries. And I know there's those empty spots, and I know there's those wonderments, and I know she thinks about Joseph and what his life is going to be like and all of this. But you know what? That's not what comes off of her. What comes off of her, what comes out of her is victory. I win. When I get around her, that's what I pick up. That's just what spills all over me because of how she lives and because of who she identifies with. Rick Wilson. He's another one. Bill, you had anything splash over on you from Rick? Because see, they're both walking through cancer. And I've heard it, the testimony of what an inspiration Rick has been to Bill. I can tell you what Rick identifies with. You know what he identifies with? Faith and the healing of God. Amen? That's what he identifies with, and that's what comes off of him. And that's what splashes all over Bill. And Bill, like, I want to hang around you some more. Amen? You know, Rick could identify, oh, cancer, cancer, oh. But that's not what he's doing. Yeah, he's walking through it. But he's identifying with the Word of God. And that's what people around him are picking up. You got any strongholds in your life? You got any things running through your head lying to you? But I want to back up. You might go, well, Pastor, I don't know. The more you dig in the Word of God, you could run across some things and go, oh, well, that thinking ain't right. Why? Because you're getting your mind renewed. You're getting your mind renewed to the way God thinks, to the way God does things. Anybody ever had the stronghold of can't? Oh, he's going to meddle in a little bit. No, he's not. Anybody ever had that stronghold? I can't. I can't. I can't. I can't go to Rhema. I can't go to college. I can't stand up in front of people and preach because I can't read. I can't. You know what? That's a lie. Amen? Moses. Moses had a lie. He had a stronghold. God, get someone else. I stutter when I talk. Oh, it's good to dig around in the Word of God, study it out every day, and when it and your thoughts don't agree, don't change this to line up with your thoughts. Change your thoughts and bring them subjection to the truth of God's Word. Amen. Hallelujah. You're very welcome. Thank you. Going to miss you. Oh, praise God. How many of you in here can identify with Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? You know, you can boldly raise a hand and say, yes, Jesus is my Lord. He is my Savior. For those of you that are visiting, we're doing this just for you because I'm not sure whether you're saved or not. I want to make sure you are. No, that's not it. But if you're here and you don't know Jesus, I want you to. But this is so important. Every Sunday, we give people a chance to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Every Sunday. I like having fun, but I tell you what, this matters right now. This is serious right now. I'm asking the most important question you will ever be asked in life. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Do you know him or do you just know about him? Big difference between the two. I know about Michael Jordan, but I don't know him. Big difference. Do you know him? Have you ever met him? Who is he to you? Is he just a historical figure? Just a good guy? One of the prophets? Or is he the Son of God? The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world? The one who hung on a cross for you and shed his blood so you could be forgiven. Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Christianity is not a hope-so religion. Christianity is a no-so. And those who have the Son have eternal life. Amen? You're all here today. I don't know where everybody is in their relationship to Jesus. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you've never asked Him to forgive, you've never confessed Him as your Lord and Savior, you can. You can. And you can walk out of here, new creature in Christ, old things passed away, behold, all things become new. Amen? You can walk out of here knowing that God's got a plan for your life, and then when you get done with that plan here on the face of this earth, you get to go to heaven instead of hell. Praise God. Amen? If you can think of a stronghold you have, I'd like to be praying for folks specifically. If you need healing in your body, you're looking for wisdom, you're looking for direction, you're looking for insight, you just have a request of God, then we'd love to have you come up and we'll pray for you. So let's all go ahead and stand up, and if the worship team will come on up, and then if I can get people that are part of the prayer team to come on up. You've been up here before and you have prayed with people. Please come on up because we want to pray for people. I tell you what, you know what? Good word today. Good word today. Really good word today. Good truth. But how many of you know God wants to do more? God wants to minister to people. He wants to reach out and touch people even more. He's got more for us. Amen? Hallelujah. How much more will the Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask? Well, go ahead and ask. Just, yeah. Why not? I can't figure out why not. I ask. Amen. Let's pray. And for most of you, you know this is how our services wind down. How many of you know church is never over? Church is never over. Turn and look at somebody and say, church is never over. People are starting to get nervous. Uh-oh, what is he setting us up for now? Truth. See, when you leave this service, church continues on. Because you are the church. You are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to put this over the new church building when we do it. When you walk out this door, you enter the mission field. Because wherever you go this week, you're in a mission field. You get to love on somebody. You get to pray for somebody. You get to share the love of God with somebody. You know, you get to rub shoulders with people that haven't met Jesus yet. And whatever you identify with is just going to ooze all over them. Make sure you're identifying with the right stuff. Amen. So, if you want to come up here for prayer for any of the things that I talked about, please come on up. Don't miss out. We're not in a hurry. And when I get done praying, you can come on up here for prayer. You can make your way back downstairs and enjoy fellowship. If you got to slip out and go, and it'll continue on with your day, all of those are fine. If you want to stand here for a while in the presence of God and just sing along with the worship team, you can do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, we praise you and we worship you. God, I thank you for truth. But Father, truth doesn't do any good if we don't take it, if we don't receive it, and if we don't apply it to our lives. To know the truth and let the truth work in our lives. Let it work in our lives, and let that truth of your word, the truth of the promises, lead us into full and complete freedom. And Father, we're not just hearers of the word. We're not just hearers of truth, but we're doers. We're doers of your word. So that is what we will do. And Father, as we bring this service to a close, I thank you that the Holy Spirit is talking to people. And if there just happens to be one or five people that have never met Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is revealing to them right now that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That Jesus has good for them. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went around doing good. Jesus said that he came that we might have life as He came to give us life and life more abundantly. Father, that people would know Jesus. They would meet Him. They would have the joy, forgiveness, salvation, freedom, newness of life. And Father, if there are people in here and they just want someone to pray for them because they want healed in their body, they've had some lie running around in their head and they haven't been able to shake it, Father, we can stand in agreement with them and help tear down that stronghold. And Father, as we get ready to leave, thank You. Thank You that we leave here and we go with Jesus and we carry Him because we identify with Him. We carry Him everywhere we go. We go with the Holy Spirit. He leads and guides us into all truth. Thank You, Father, right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Folks, if you want to come up for prayer, come on up for prayer. Amen. There's people they just love to pray for you. God does miracles here all the time. You can receive. If you want to slip out and make your way downstairs for fellowship, understand that. You got to go on about your day. Understand that. And don't miss out. Don't miss out on anything God has for you. Amen.